Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
We could see severe storms across North Carolina today. Coming up, I'll show you why that chance is less likely for the Triangle.
And right now at 4:30, Wake County could be the first school district in the state to sue the country's largest maker of e-cigarettes. Ahead, the impacts the vaping epidemic has had on children in our area.
And a live look at Raleigh this morning as city leaders prepare to make a decision that would change the shape of our police form. How soon we could learn who will be the next leader of the Raleigh Police Department. We want to thank you for joining us. I'm Micaiah Thurman in for Renee Chu.
Yeah, and I'm Jeff Hogan. Busy Tuesday ahead. We're going to take a look at that radar as Tropical Storm Bill brewing in the Atlantic after taking form off the coast of North Carolina. It's great shape there now.
Yeah, Peter Shearwood's in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the latest on our threat of severe weather here locally first.
Yes, I want to dive into it. You can see right there, Sampson County and Wayne County under the potential for severe storms today. But I think that chance is going to be less likely because of a cold front that's moving through. As we take a look at our HD Doppler network right now, we're seeing some of those showers and thunderstorms, not severe at the moment, but really causing some thunder boomers to the south. Those will continue to move towards the east as we head throughout the morning. I don't think you're going to have to worry about a lot of rain as you head out to work in that area. You can see the cold front advancing through this morning. A deck of clouds will be possible heading into the lunch hour. Most of those will move to the south and east. And with the cold front moving through, those showers and thunderstorms most likely to erupt along the coast. And we will likely stay mostly dry today and see sunshine into the afternoon. It is really going to be a pleasant one. Very warm as you step out the door, 72 degrees in Raleigh and Durham. By the afternoon, look at those temperatures heading into the 80s around lunchtime, 85 degrees. Then 88 will be our afternoon high. Let's talk about Bill. Tropical Storm Bill out there, you can see it about 335 miles east northeast away from Cape Hatteras. So this is moving away from us and it's doing so very quickly. Look at the speed on this thing. You can see it moving at 23 miles per hour and it will continue to lift towards the northeast as a tropical storm and look at it moving into some cooler sea surface temperatures and dying down. So this is not going to drive impacts to us here in North Carolina. That's good news. It's continuing to race away. Meteorologist Kat Campbell will be out on the coast later this afternoon talking about the rip current impacts and some of the forecasting trends that the National Weather Service is looking at in terms of better organizing and detecting rip current risk. Back to you.
PETA, thank you. Today, Wake County school leaders will discuss taking legal action against the country's largest makers of e-cigarettes. WRAL's Nia Harden is live this morning with why the district is considering a lawsuit against Juul. Nia, good morning.
Good morning. Well, Micaiah, if Wake County does decide to go through with this, they would be the first school district in North Carolina to file a lawsuit against Juul. They would join a growing list of more than 100 districts across the country. Juul products have been accused of delivering high amounts of nicotine that lead to addiction. If filed, the lawsuit would support the 2019 pending case against Juul filed by Attorney General Josh Stein. North Carolina was the first state to take legal action against Juul. In 2017, nearly 20% of all North Carolina high school students reported using an e-cigarette within the last month. That's according to the state. That meeting is going to be streamed by WRAL on the WRAL News app and WRAL.com this evening at 5:30. Nia Harden, WRAL News, Garner.
Today, we could learn who will be Raleigh's next police chief. There are three finalists: Daryl McSwain, the police chief of Maryland National Capitol Park Police; Rob Lowe, the deputy superintendent of Cambridge Police Department in Massachusetts; and Estella Patterson, the deputy chief of Charlotte Mecklenburg Police. Now, Raleigh City Manager Marshall Adams David is in charge of making that final decision, and she could announce her choice for chief at the end of the city council meeting tonight. The goal is to have the next police chief in place by July 1st. Today, Raleigh city leaders could greenlight the East End Development Project near Five Points. This development would sit along 11 acres at the intersection of Wake Forest and Whitaker Mill Roads. At first, people living in that area criticized the tall buildings and increased traffic this would bring to the neighborhood. WRAL's Casey Cunningham explains why some of those people are now supporting the project. Casey?
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, they've had a change of heart about this. But if this passes, people in this area and everyone driving by could see new apartments and restaurants, entertainment areas right here off Whitaker and Wake Forest. But let's go ahead and pull up some mock-ups here. I'll take in for a better closer look at this proposed $30 million East End development. So residents shared their concerns with us a couple weeks ago, and the Planning Commission voted against approving this development back in April. But I talked with residents last night ahead of this vote. They tell me they're now in support of the project after the developer made some big changes. So on that list, lowering the height of the buildings from 15 to 11 stories and also creating kind of a bigger buffer between the residential homes and this newer development. So there are a couple of other things they decided to make adjustments about. So the Planning Commission and Raleigh City Council, they will all vote again today on that. Residents are crediting Council Member David Knight with really helping this take off and kind of working together with him to make sure that, you know, this is something that both the residents and developers agree on. So we'll be following this council meeting and make sure to bring you updates on WREL. Casey Cunningham, WREL News. We're live in Raleigh.
Casey, thank you. We are following breaking news overnight regarding a house fire in Raleigh. The WREL breaking news tracker was on Bellingham Circle around 1:30 this morning as crews worked to put out a fire. You can see in the video there, there was some damage to the roof of the home. Police say no one was hurt. And Raleigh police are looking for leads. This after a drive-by shooting just outside of a Food Lion. Officers responded to the store on Pool Road around 10:15 last night. They say a man in his 20s was walking out when a white car pulled up and shot him at least once in the chest before driving off. The man was taken to the hospital. Investigators haven't said how seriously he was hurt.
Happening today, the head of the EPA will be back in his home state here in North Carolina. Michael Regan, who previously served as the leader of our state's Department of Environmental Quality, will focus on getting people vaccinated against COVID-19. He'll first make a stop in Charlotte before attending a canvassing event in Raleigh. Neighborhoods with low vaccination rates will be targeted. The trip is part of a month-long effort from the White House to boost vaccination rates.
Well, time now, 4:37. North Carolinians will not lose extra unemployment benefits just yet. Ahead, what comes next for those $300 payments many people are still getting?
Plus, if you have an Amazon Basics product in your home, you will want to stick around for this next story. What electronics investigators are looking into after reports of them bursting into flames.
From the WREL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
It is quiet this morning across the triangle, but we are seeing a few scattered showers and thunderstorms to the south and east. You can see it right there moving across Sampson County, and those storms really bringing some lightning into the area. Non-severe at the moment, but certainly could have waken you up earlier than you would have liked. We are seeing temperatures that are in the 70s, so it's very warm outside, but notice our dew points to the north. They're in the upper 60s. Dew points to the southeast, they're in the lower 70s, so it's muggier to the southeast. We do anticipate some improvements with our dew points as we head into the next several days, so be mindful of that. Today, we're going to head to 88 degrees. Coming up, I'll show you how temperatures will feel.
Sign-ups for health care coverage through the Affordable Care Act are slowing down. The Biden administration announced more than 1.2 million Americans signed up for Affordable Care Act coverage on the federal exchange through the end of May. The special enrollment period is still open through mid-August. President Biden reopened enrollment in mid-February to help provide coverage to the uninsured during the ongoing pandemic. This morning, pre-trial and motions hearings are scheduled for Rick Snyder, the governor of Michigan, during the Flint water crisis. He's expected to go before a judge today. He's charged with willful neglect and pleaded not guilty earlier this year. Snyder is among 10 others facing charges in connection to that crisis.
Resignation rates usually rise from July through September, but new data shows the Great Resignation is happening even earlier than usual. Workforce analytic company Visor reports tech resignations have increased 4.5%. That's from March of last year till March of this year. Resignations in the healthcare industry rose by 3.6% during that same time period. Time now, 4:41. A basketball legend is trying his hand at another sport this week. Michael Jordan will hit the open ocean in the Big Rock Blue Marlin tournament Up next, the catch his team has already brought in.
Plus, the swimmer for the Triangle is headed to Tokyo. And what we are expecting to learn today about the COVID-19 restrictions in place for the Olympics right now. And as we go to break, we'll take you for a live look at the Bull City. This is Durham. Good morning, folks, from our WRL Live Cam Network. We're back in a moment.
A 3-year-old boy is in the hospital this morning after nearly drowning in a family pool in Wake County. WRL Sky 5 flew over the scene as emergency crews rushed to save him. The call first came in just before 5 o'clock. The family identified the boy as Wesley Diner. The family friend describes him as strong-willed. Right now, he's at Wake Med fighting for his life. An extra $300 jobless benefit is sticking around for now. The state Senate voted not to get rid of the benefit, which is coming from the federal government. House lawmakers wanted to cut the benefit, but state lawmakers wanted to use re-employment bonuses instead. This will now go back to a conference committee to work out a compromise.
Some folks out there are still reluctant about getting a COVID shot. There is a way that you can get some help deciding. Wake County Public Health is launching a boot camp to answer all questions. The county is offering 2 online sessions. The first is today at 10 a.m. and the second is on June 29th at 6 p.m. You need to register online to participate. You can go to wakegov.com to learn more. New research shows your immune system continues to protect your body for at least a year after contracting COVID-19. That's according to a new study published in the journal Nature. A vaccine also appears to boost immune response in people who have recovered from the virus.
A new warning from the FBI. The U.S. could see more threats from QAnon conspiracy theorists. The FBI is warning lawmakers that the group could shift from online activity to acts of violence. According to an unclassified FBI assessment obtained by CNN, some QAnon believers say they can, quote, no longer trust the plan. Well, right now, investigators are looking into Amazon Electronics after some products burst into flames. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is investigating at least 8 different products sold under the Amazon Basics brand. They include battery chargers, surge protectors, and a voice-activated microwave. Some buyers said products melted or exploded. Amazon declined to comment on the investigation, but said it evaluates every report of safety issues.
Happening today, the International Olympic Committee is set to roll out the 3rd and final edition of its COVID rulebook. These are new rules expected to include small details for media, support staff, and athletes. Under the current protocols, all participants will have to pass 2 COVID tests before traveling to Japan. Athletes and anyone close to them will be tested daily while in Tokyo. A student at Cardinal Gibbons is Tokyo-bound. Claire Curzan's Olympic dream will come true. She finished 2nd in the 100-meter butterfly, and at just 16 years old, she'll be one of the youngest to compete for Team USA.
Very cool. Mm. Well, today is day 2 of the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament, and that's in Moorhead City. For the 2nd straight year, Michael Jordan and his Catch 23 team are in the tournament. They reeled in a 442-pound Big Blue Marlin last year. And on day 1 of this year's tournament, they caught a 25-pound dolphin. Incredible.
Give Jordan a little competition. He'll show up. No doubt. He loves that tournament. Look at Clayton down here. Good morning, folks. A little breeze in the air there. That'll feel nice today as the dew points come down a little bit. We know what that means, PETA.
Yes. So whenever we see the dew points come down in the month of June, we know it's going to be a lovely afternoon. So just prepare yourself for that. And we're going to have several days where we're going to see nice conditions across the triangle. The big culprit for allowing us to see lovely conditions will be the cold front that's moving through the state. Again, we're watching tropical storm Bill that's well off the coast of North Carolina, about 300 miles to the east northeast. That will continue to move away from us. Let's talk about some storms that we're seeing this morning. There to the south, you can see it's really along the cold front that we have working its way through the state. As we take a look at Sampson County right now, we're getting reports of wind speeds at around 40 miles per hour with this cluster of storm. But
those will continue to move out. You can see it's really on the tail end of Sampson County, working its way into Lumberton County this morning, and those are going to move out. That's it. We are going to stay quiet heading into the afternoon. Heading to 88 degrees in Raleigh, 86 in Durham today, 90 degrees in Fayetteville. And just take a look at what we can expect over the next couple of days, getting to 84 degrees on Wednesday, Thursday, 89 by Friday, and we are going to stay dry. So we do have some pool days in the forecast. You can see as we take a look at why we're going to be less humid, and it's really because of the cold front that's going to move through. Behind it, all the moisture, all that green is moving towards the south and east. We are going to see those drier conditions move in, especially as we head into Wednesday and Thursday with high pressure settling in across the region. That's really going to allow us to feel very comfortable, getting into the comfortable and refreshing category by the middle of the week. Look at those dew points. They will be in the 50s by the afternoon. So enjoy Wednesday and Thursday. Those dew points are expected to jump back into the 60s on Friday. Saturday, again, looking like it's going to be a steamy and tropical day across the triangle. As we take a look outside, quiet this morning, looking at Durham there, not too bad in Goldsboro. We're seeing temperatures in the 70s. By the afternoon, we are going to make our way to 88 degrees and looking at those temperatures climbing into the 90s. And Father's Day weekend, we're likely to see showers and thunderstorms move back in. I'm going to explain why our rain chances will pick up by the end of the week and take a look at the tropics coming up.
We'll be waiting for it. All right, Peter, thank you. Have you made your summer vacation plans yet? Coming up after the break, the two changes going into effect at Disney's California parks.
Plus, the Girl Scouts will be missing out on some funding this year. How the pandemic impacted cookie sales. With all that stress, sadness, and anxiety we've dealt with in the past year, it's not surprising that the use of mental health apps is now surging. Five on Your Side's Monica Liberty shares a caution about privacy with some of them.
It is so easy to just grab your phone and open an app that maybe gives you a boost, a reality check, or something that just helps you take a breath. The caution, though, involves sharing sensitive or personal information. Some platforms might not be as private as you may think.
Deep breath in.
Whether it's a guided meditation or an appointment with a licensed therapist, mental health apps are in demand. But they're not always covered by the same medical privacy laws, such as HIPAA, that protect information you share with a doctor in person. And even when HIPAA rules do apply, they may not cover all the data an app collects.
What companies tell you about what they do with your data is often pretty vague and confusing, and it's usually buried in privacy policies where it can be hard to find.
Consumer Reports looked at several popular apps and found many send information to third parties, such as Facebook and Google. The data in question is often used for advertising or other business research. It's a common practice, but not something many would expect from apps that deal with mental health.
We didn't see these apps sharing details about your condition or what you're telling your therapist, but they may be letting other companies know you're using a mental health app.
CR believes we should know if and where our data is shared.
Be sure it's clear about who will be administering your care. It's worth seeking out licensed mental health professionals, and there are plenty of services that will connect you with them.
We do have a link to some resources online, and also know that telehealth has become a very popular option since the pandemic. Many people say they have had great success with it. Monica Liberty, WREL News 5 on Your Side.
Michelle McConaughey in the WREL Live Center. Overnight, California is dropping all of its COVID restrictions. They dropped their color-coding tier system. Capacity limits in businesses are dropped starting today. No more physical distancing and no mask requirements for vaccinated people at restaurants and gyms. And events with 5,000 or more people will still require masks. Indoor events will require proof of vaccination for a negative COVID test. That's for any event with 5,000 5,000 or more people. Of course, there will still be places that will require masks, like public transportation and schools as well. But Jeff, a major amusement park also making a major announcement today.
Yeah, certainly. It goes right in line with this. Starting today, fully vaccinated guests at Disneyland will no longer be required to wear those face coverings. The park will use the honor system for this new rule. You will not have to prove that you've been vaccinated to shed the mask. Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are welcoming out-of-state visitors as well, beginning today.
The Girl Scouts of America says they have 15 million boxes of unsold cookies this year. The group says the pandemic kept many troops from selling their sweets door to door or at cookie booths. Many girls opted to sell the boxes online or by using drive-through booths and contact-free delivery, but it wasn't very successful. The Girl Scouts depend on the cookie sales to fund camps, trips, and other activities.
Next at 5 on WRAL News, school leaders will discuss the mental health of students at a meeting in Wake County today. Still ahead, WRAL's Naya Harden breaks down what that plan could include.
Plus, President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin are preparing to meet tomorrow. What Putin is saying ahead of that meeting.